This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Ah, bipartisanship. It always scares me just a little bit. Doesn't it scare you just a little bit, bipartisanship? Just a little bit. When they start talking about bipartisanship, I get a little bit nervous. People go into the middle, not taking a stand on things. Makes me nervous. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich on Twitter at Rich Zioli. The White House press briefing underway after the president met with a bipartisan group of senators today to discuss immigration reform, DACA, the wall, comprehensive immigration reform, and on and on and on. So whether or not we'll have some sort of a plan or program or not remains to be seen. Now, I know you heard Rush describe his nervousness about whether or not the Democrats are going to potentially now put him in a position where he winds up agreeing to things and then they don't come back and agree to what he wants down the road, which is a legitimate worry. And he had a caller, a 31-year-old guy from Chicago, called up and said, you know, Rush, I've been on the Trump train since the beginning, but I'm a little bit concerned now. I'm a little bit worried that he's going to get rolled by these Democrats. And hey, look, it's a legitimate worry for sure. But I think the Democrats have a big question to ask themselves, and that's this. Do they want to work with this president on anything, even DACA? Even DACA in any way, shape, or form, the deferred action dreamers, yeah. Do they really want to do that? See, I'm not so sure, politically speaking, they want to give the president a win on anything. You have to remember where the party is right now. Who ran the last election for Hillary Clinton? It was run out of Brooklyn, New York, a social justice warrior-style campaign run by the likes of Robbie Mook. I don't know what kind of a grown man goes by the name Robbie, but he did. Robbie Mook. And Robbie Mook, who was out there running this social justice warrior campaign for Hillary Clinton from the confines of Brooklyn, so detached from the rest of America that he's spending more on lattes every day for the campaign than most people spend on their car insurance if you break it down for a day. So he's completely removed from the rest of America, which is why when everybody said to him from the old days of the Democratic Party, hey, you got to do more than just say Trump's a mean bully. He's a meanie. You got to do more. You got to talk about economics and jobs and that sort of thing. You got to do more than just say he's a big old meanie pants if you want to win. And you also have to go and campaign, you know, to places like the Rust Belt, and you can't take them for granted and all these other things. They didn't listen. They didn't think they needed to. They thought that if you just portrayed Trump as a monster who is going to blow up the world, that's all you needed. You'd be fine. And don't do anything. Do not deviate from that. So day in, day out, here in our area, we saw the ads because Pennsylvania obviously was a targeted state. So they saturated us with ads of Donald Trump blowing up the earth in Big Lee style. And also Donald Trump losing his mind and being mean and being a big old meanie pants and saying meanie, meanie things. Day in, day out. Never, nary a word on jobs or the economy or anything else. In fact, after the campaign was over, I discussed with my cousin, my big giant, I'm literally a giant, he's like 6'5", my giant lefty cousin, well, where was her economic plan? And he admitted that they didn't have one, but they didn't think they needed one. They also don't know what they're doing on economics. Everything for them is about $15 minimum wage and economic justice and whatever the hell that means. It doesn't exactly appeal to the white working class voters in the Rust Belt. So that brings us to 2018. Now, do Democrats in all these seats who are up in the House and the Senate, and remember, all politics is local, so I don't want to make a blanket generalization with regards to the House of Representatives, but certainly with regards to the Senate, do the Democrats want to run in a spirit of helping President Trump succeed? This madman who's so close to being removed by the 25th Amendment. See, this book, this dopey book that's out right now, The Fire and Fury, right? It's actually, in one respect, putting the Democrats in a very, very awkward position. Because here you have this book, and they sell it as it's snake oil, you know? If you're a Trump hater, this book will get you through it. It's going to give you hope that any minute now, they're going to take this madman out. The guys in white coats are going to show up. So you believe this now. You believe the White House is chaotic. You believe that he's just a phone call away from being removed from office. You believe that any minute now, Robert Mueller is going to storm in like Elliot Ness and the Untouchables with a warrant, and they're going to arrest the president, they're going to pull him out, and that's going to be the end of it, and that you believe this now. And so that's what you go with. Now you have Democrats running for office who are trying to help this guy be a successful president. And you're going, not you, I'm saying them, but you're going, put yourself in their shoes, I'm saying, which is hard to do, I know. Because you, well, first of all, you wouldn't be at work right now. But imagine that you were home right now and you're in a basement and you were watching TV, MSNBC nonstop. Put yourself in that person's shoes. Now, you think this guy's about to be either impeached or carted off to the loony bin. And you turn around and you see Democrats helping this guy. And now you're angry. How you can't help us, even if it's DACA, even if it's the little children who might be sent home. It doesn't matter. You don't want to give this guy a win on anything. Why would you help him when he's about to be removed from office, either through impeachment or through the 25th Amendment? Why would you help? And that's really the pickle the Democrats are in politically. It was reported that a Republican in Congress in California, member of the House, is not going to run for re-election. He's retiring. And so now they're saying the Democrats can probably pick up that district. So there's a Democrat run in that district in California. It's a Republican seat run on, I'm going to be a bipartisan agent of cooperation in the spirit of the outgoing Republican, or am I going to go in there and burn the place down and try to get rid of Donald Trump? That's in California. That's the tricky part. Now, years ago, I would have said to you that the right move in a district that was held by a Republican seat for a long time would be to run as a Democrat, as a sort of a old school centrist Democrat. I don't think that's really what you do anymore in California. I don't even know what a centrist Democrat is anymore in California, or anywhere for that matter, but particularly in California. The idea that in California, you're going to find somebody who would want to be a quote unquote centrist on anything. When you've got the headquarters, basically, of the progressive left, the headquarters there in San Francisco. Well, it's San Francisco and Brooklyn. It's like a Wonder Twin Powers activate form of this giant progressivism around the country, like a progressive force field. But it starts in San Fran, it ends in Brooklyn, and it goes over the country, but it skips every state except for California and New York and Vermont, basically. So now imagine that, and Illinois to a degree. So imagine that. Super force field of progressivism. Are you going to be the Democrat that comes out and says, I want to work with this president? Now, you'd think so, because you'd say, how many Democrats voted for Donald Trump? How many Democrat voters, union guys, blue collar guys, carpenters and electricians and all these other people, they voted for Trump. So then why wouldn't you then try to appeal to them to get your vote? Because the problem is the latte drinking, latte sipping crowd at the headquarters is not going to like you if you do anything to cooperate with Donald Trump. And that base is angry. You know, that's the base that's always on Twitter and always on Facebook. And they're angry, my friends, and they're not going to accept it. So this is what Democrats have to deal with. They go, do we do anything to help, or do we, and then risk alienating our base to such a degree, or do we just double down on any minute now this guy is going to be out? So let's just help them finish him off. And I don't have the answer to that. I will tell you that with the House, it's tricky because, again, all politics is local. But let's say you take a swing district in our area. Say you take a swing district in one of the collar counties of Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, for example. I mean, collar counties of Philadelphia. So in the past, you'd say as a Democrat, try to run as more of a centrist Democrat. But look at what Casey's doing. I mean, Casey goes more to the left every day, this guy. Every day more to the left. He's running as a United States senator for re-election in Pennsylvania, state Trump won. And yet, whether it's opposing taxes, whether it's being completely all in for gun control, being against even, you know, the 20-week abortion ban, Casey keeps going to the left in a state like Pennsylvania that Trump just won. So now look at the congressional districts. I imagine the same people that are telling Casey it's smart politics to keep moving to the left are saying the same thing to these idiots who are running in the House. So now these people in the House have a really tough decision to make. Do they work with Trump or not? So then brings us back to today. So here's the president. He's got these people around the room and he has the cameras in there and he says, hey, look at the bipartisanship that I'm trying to do. And he's talking about we're going to get something done here. But he knows, because he's got great political instincts, he knows that they're not going to cooperate with him. They're not. They're not going to cooperate with him. Even if he were to give them a clean DACA bill. In other words, this is why I don't think anybody should be worried. Even if Trump were to give them a clean DACA bill, just focusing on DACA, I'm not sure the Democrats would give him a win on that. I don't think they would allow him to be able to turn around and look compassionate in any way, shape, or form. Again, I'm not taking a position on DACA. Understand, because I don't need the emails and the tweets about it's not compassionate. Blah. No, that's not what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying is this. They would not want to give him the win of DACA so that he could be able to talk about how he was able to keep children from being deported. They would not want him to look compassionate because they painted a picture of him as a monster. A monster who's out of his mind, a monster who's in bed with Putin, a monster who's about to be impeached, and a monster who's about to be carted off to the loony bin. So even if Trump were to turn around and say, okay, clean DACA bill, here's the deal. Kids got to stay, bottom line. Here, you got it. Let's just do it. Let's go get it done. Let's have a unanimous show of support. I'm not sure the Democrats would go along with it. Because you got guys like the Castro brothers, the lesser Castros. Not the real Castros in Cuba. I'm talking about the Castro brothers in Texas. These guys are like the Castros in the sense that they're socialists, but they're not nearly as talented as Fidel and Raul. So they're the lesser Castros, Jake and Benny or whatever their names are. I don't even know. It's not important who they are. But the Castro brothers are Democrats, and they've already said they'll even oppose a clean DACA bill. They'll find an excuse. They'll find a reason to oppose it. Because the truth is they don't really care. They don't really care. They care about stopping Trump. They don't really care about middle-class taxpayers. Otherwise, they would have tried to work with the Republicans on tax reform. They don't really care about that either. They care about opposing Trump. And they don't really care about the little kids who might get sent back to Guatemala or wherever it is. They don't really care. They care about stopping Trump. And they don't want to be in a position where they have to listen to Brooklyn or San Francisco call them and say, we had him against the ropes. Michael Wolff's book, we had him against the ropes, and now you have helped him come across as a man with a heart, a beating heart, who's just scored a major legislative victory, and he's got, look at all those brown faces around him in the photo op, and the children, and the mothers, and the, look at that, look what you've done. They would never, never want that. So I think the president is engaging in smart politics. He's bringing them in for a bipartisan meeting, knowing that the idea is they probably will never do anything to help him in any way, shape, or form. So then knowing that, he can either do one of two things. He can risk not losing his base by coming out and doing clean DACA just to prove a point, which is that they won't support him because they won't. But then I think the problem, though, is that there's too many people who would lose their minds and not see a bigger strategy. And so they would wind up just losing their minds, Ann Coulter's and whatnot. So he can't just do that. So he'll come out and he'll put things in it, the wall and other things like that. And then they'll really say no, the Democrats. But even if there was nothing in there but just pure, utter, clean DACA, nothing else, they still, I'm telling you right now, they still would not back it. And the reason why, as I mentioned, is because as they go into 2018, they have made a decision. That decision is for the Trump-hating left, the only thing to do to placate them, to fire them up, to keep them excited and energized as they head to the polls, is to make them believe we are just any minute now. I mean, any minute now, this presidency is over, either by Robert Mueller or by the 25th Amendment. So don't do anything to save the guy when he's drowning. That's their strategy. And if you don't believe me, start your day watching Morning Joe and end it watching Crazy Larry O'Donnell and stop the hammering, because those shows begin and end all day with shows in between like Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow, and it's impeachment and 25th Amendment and impeachment and 25th Amendment. And the base that watches those shows expects one of two things to happen, one of those two things to happen. And they'll be damned if Democrats give this guy a win or make him seem compassionate or politically successful. They'll be damned.
CLE 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.